Hello and welcome to Editor's Voice. I'm Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Magazine. With me today to talk about the new issue of Evolve's Greater Daytona Region is editor John Guthrie. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Howard.
So, John, let's talk about the new issue, Waterways. Now, it had some other names before, didn't it?
It did. You know, a lot of times we think of the economic impact of the water as just fishing and in the ocean. And the reality is we live in a region that is covered with water, and there are many businesses that have spawned, so to speak, off of that.
Absolutely. So tell me about some of the articles in this upcoming issue.
Well, one I'm really excited about is the one that kind of highlights Boston Whaler. Okay. Boston Whaler is a huge economic engine in our area, and I had seen a documentary about the shrimp boats that were built in St. Augustine, and it caused me to say, well, what's the boating industry from a construction manufacturing standpoint in Volusia County? And that led us to Bill Doherty in his story of actually starting probably more than three different boat companies. So I think that's really unique. And with the amount of employees they have, that business has just really, really driven that southeast portion of Volusia County.
Yep. Boat manufacturing is a core industry for Volusia.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't know that. And as you said, it's not just Volusia. It also is here in Flagler as well as St. Augustine.
Well, it makes sense. But, you know, it shows the true entrepreneurial spirit of creating a specific type of hull to differentiate oneself and their products. And it's just, it's a great story. And I think it doesn't get as much attention as it probably should.
Mm-hmm. I think spotlighting it in this issue is a great idea. And let's talk about sunglasses.
Yeah, that's a great story. When I moved to Florida, a good friend of mine, Carrie Register, picked out sunglasses because coming from the Midwest, we didn't spend much on sunglasses. You know, it was dark. And so I found out very quickly what an important piece or an important accessory it is here, because it is so bright, and how important it is to have good sunglasses, polarized. So I bought a pair of Costa Del Mar's, and I had those forever. And I was so surprised when one day they broke, and I found out, you know, right over by Daytona Beverage is their headquarters. I could go there. They're guaranteed for life. I paid $11.95, got a brand new pair, and I was just really intrigued. And then I was kind of sad when they were purchased.
Yes.
Because that was jobs. And it was kind of cool to have Costa here. You know, it was kind of a quality brand in the Daytona Beach region. So I thought that was cool. So then they left, and then out of the rubble, they have come out with a brand new brand, and it's Bahio. And it is really unique because they are kind of a startup, although they're in 500 locations now, I think. And the interesting thing about it is that they're really going about marketing in a different way.
How is that?
Well, I caught myself being old as I was talking to Shauna Metz, the head of marketing over there. And I said, "What? Tell me the deal with your TV shows." And she kind of looked at me and she's like, "Yeah, those aren't TV shows. Those are streaming shows." So it's this kind of concept that the millennials, you know, they're going to go across the United States and the world with video doing good projects. So it's kind of like, you know, it's product placement, but they're committed to the environment. And, and that's what I really wanted to get across in this article, is that they're committed to the environment. They ended up hiring a lot of the people who could have been or were displaced. And we've got a brand new brand, and it is going gangbusters. So I'm just really proud of that approach, because, they could have just closed up and said, "We're done." But there were people here who were talented. And so I think that's a good story.
Yeah. But it's not under Costa, right?
No.
It's under
Bahio.
Bahio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we did a leadership profile, I believe, in Evolve Is his name Al?
So Al Perkinson was the head of marketing for Costa.
Okay.
And he's the one who's kind of the visionary of a brand new brand and the ability to kind of pull those people who had had positions at Costa into this world.
Neat.
So, you know, he really, really did a great thing and made great sunglasses at the same time.
So we did an entrepreneur profile on him, which is... will primarily go on the website and in the e-zine when we push it out.
Yep.
But we also posted it already on Facebook.
Oh, good.
And got buku traffic. You know, you and I were talking years ago about characters.
Right. Yeah, he is a character. There's right. no doubt. He's coming to speak to our Rotary, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And yeah, he is a character. And the cover, I just want to say, the cover... with him on the front with his hair blowing is just like perfect. That's a great cover.
And that's the picture that was used in Facebook, which I think got all of the traffic.
Yeah.
But the thing about Evolve is that its purpose is to shine a light on business and economic success. And that story you just told is a perfect example.
It has all the makings, you know?
Yep.
And you've got a character, you've got a quality product. You've got a saving of a workforce,
mm-hmm.
and you have a brand new brand, which mm-hmm. I believe, with his creativity, is probably going to get to the level mm-hmm. of Costa, because he knows how to do it.
Yeah, yeah, neat.
So
neat.
It's great.
So the one of the other articles is sort of in a different vein that I wanted to touch on, John. It's a business that is being featured in there that goes back to the early 1900s, and that's the marina.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Talk about that.
Well, you know, we started to say, what are the legacy businesses? And I think what inspired that were two things. Rich Cooper, who's on our board, mm-hmm. had a connection. But also, you know, I've always seen all these black and white photos, or wonderful photos, like at the yacht club and places, you know. And so I've always kind of been, you know, the picture of the huge fish, you know, that they have that they're holding out there in the black mm-hmm. and white,
yep.
and the
yep.
fish camp and the measuring fish and all right. that kind of stuff. And so that led us to say, you know, what is something that doesn't get talked about a lot, mm-hmm. but is essential?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a marina, what do you do with all these boats you made,
right.
you know? And so downtown Daytona Beach is a beautiful spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's really coming along. And I think the marina is something that's overlooked by those of us who don't have boats in the water, but it truly played an integral role in the development of Daytona Beach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
From rum running to everything else.
And if you think about the dichotomy, the sunglass company and the marina, one brand new and another
right.
over a century
right.
old, I mean, that is
yep.
pretty neat and a good design. So I'm a big oyster guy.
Yeah.
And I know you were really focused on making sure
yeah.
there was an oyster component in this.
Yeah, well, you know, Mike Benedict started a long time ago an oyster festival. And I don't think it's still running right now because of COVID and all those things. But I was always intrigued by it. And we went to it and had a fantastic time. And I started to learn about, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, the rebuilding, I guess we'll say, of the habitat for the oysters.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And there has been a lot of work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this story is just fantastic. It kind of talks about how an avocation of kayaking and looking for oysters turned out to end up into a business
mm-hmm.
that is supplying oysters to restaurants
mm-hmm.
all over.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really like about it is they have tours. They have, you know, they're really educating people on the importance of the oyster and making experiences for families. And I just thought, man, this is cool. And people don't know about it.
Yeah, yeah. I like those. Very good choices, very good articles there. Let's talk maybe for a minute, because I want to go and just frame up the next issue a bit. But the events issue, how did that go? What type of response did you get?
We got a good response, especially I found out how many people have people involved in cheerleading. You know, I mean, that is a huge one. And so that was a that was good. I think the events that we have here are really important because we're set up for that for our economy. Mm-hmm. And so I think talking about the events we have from a business perspective mm-hmm. and the fact business that business events. Drives, yeah. mm-hmm. you know, people are creating brand new companies. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when we look at the lavish weddings we have here, mm-hmm. The companies that help other businesses, it's a crucial part. And sometimes we go, well, we're not a special events town. Well, we are a special events town. Well, the reality is we are a special events area and special events love coming here. And it has driven businesses to become really, I think, you know, I know it's not a manufacturing group, but if you put everybody together mm-hmm. who support events, that's a huge additional economic engine. Mm-hmm.
One of the articles I liked in there, particularly in addition to the events of an entrepreneurial lifetime, the one about Corrine Heck's business, was the business of love.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah. how neat, both the color, the article, yeah. the pictures, the photographs. And it's an interesting, you know, we typically characterize it as weddings and right. things like that. But to call it the business of love,
yeah.
what a neat twist. And that yep. kind of goes to beyond just the event, but the benefit our environment
yeah.
brings,
yeah.
you know, what you can do here,
yeah.
having weddings on the beach and doing this. It really was
we're well suited for that.
We are.
And it would be nice if instead of people running away to Vegas to get married, would mm-hmm. run away to Volusia County to get married.
Absolutely.
You know, I each time we do this, I find additional markets that we can tap into, mm-hmm. And it's because of where we are.
Mm-hmm. So you said each time we do this, what's the next theme?
So, you know, one thing, Howard, that they keep saying is there's a brain drain here mm-hmm. and that people leave here and don't come back. And we try to figure out why and all those things. So what we're going to focus on is recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple pieces to that, Kent Sharples at the CEO Alliance
sure.
taught us. Mm-hmm. And that is we have to build our workforce mm-hmm. internally. Mm-hmm. A great example in my industry is Daytona Beach or Daytona State Community College or Daytona State College. You know, having a nursing program.
And your business being healthcare industry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Florida State having a medical school here. Mm-hmm. Our residency program. So we have to build these. We have to build our own workforce. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness we can mm-hmm. with the higher level of academic institutions we have here.
We have an exceedingly unique
yeah.
Perspective to have that number of higher education institutions in Volusia County, in a tiny
radius.
Yeah.
It's great. So we need to focus on that. So one article is going to be about apprenticeships. They're coming back. It's not like an indentured servant. It's a little bit better than that yeah. Because we need those people. You know, mm-hmm. the manufacturing learned that early, but now I know at Halifax Health, we're going to start apprenticeships because our people, like in operations, are saying, give me somebody who is smart, shows up to work, mm-hmm. and wants to learn, and I'll train them.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Then we're going to look at how some people got here and why they stay, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of people, Kate on our, Sark on our editorial team is an example. She went away to school. Came back here because it's a great place to raise a family. Mm-hmm. So what we're kind of finding
get
is
that story out.
There's mm-hmm. that there's this divide between really young people who want more to do, and then older people who want to come here. So you know there's a lot to be done with recruiting, and then we're going to show some success with recruiting because you know we're using technology and we're getting better and better at it. Mm-hmm. And then we're hoping to have a roundtable with a developer. An HR director and a millennial to kind of talk about what kind of place mm-hmm. to quote Richard Florida, what kind of place we want to become mm-hmm. in order to attract people, but also in order to keep them. Mm-hmm.
What type of magnet are we?
Yeah, exactly.
What type of magnet?
Yeah.
Attract and retain. So before we wrap up, this issue coming out begins the second 5 years of Evolve.
We
just finished up 5 years, John. And what do you think the next 5 years hold? As you look out, where are we now compared to where you thought we would be, and what do you think tomorrow holds?
For the publication, I think that we have to continue to look for how individuals' stories and business successes can influence other people. I think about it all the time. I think about Charlie Lydecker, who is on a, you know, he's on a tear to build this enormous, enormous organization. And I think about, okay, well, what is he doing that I can learn from or that you can learn from?
Sure.
And so I think our challenge is to keep up with technology, keep up with thought leadership, be that forward-facing and moving publication. And really, then from a marketing perspective, the digital piece is crucial.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just where things are. And it breaks my heart because I love having a magazine and I love the pictures. But the reality is, you know, it's the most economic way to, to move
things.
But
in addition to that, John, content and telling stories, you have to tell it and use whatever medium people want.
Right.
I mean, so if somebody wants it print, we've got to have it that way. If they want to get it on social media, if they want it online, if they want it on their mobile or their desktop.
Right.
I mean, so that's, and one of the things that we're beginning to realize is we've always in the past, when we started this, John, we started it designing for print.
Right.
And I think you and I are very both proud of that print product.
Absolutely.
Now we have to take that expertise that we've developed and apply it to the digital product and brings more appeal to that as well. That's going to be a big part of the future for us. So my name is Howard Holly, publisher of Evolve Magazine. I've been talking with John Guthrie, the editor of the Greater Daytona Edition. John, thank you for your time.
Thank you.